Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Jennifer Frank,
a citizen of the state of Florida, and of the United States of America, and being employed as a police officer by the city of Milton, Florida, do hereby affirm, that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and of the state of Florida, against all enemies, domestic and foreign. And that I will faithfully perform. All the duties of chief of police. To include enforcement of. All laws, city, state, and federal. Thank you, ma'am. You are sworn in officially.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah.
There you go. Milton's got a new official police chief, Jennifer Frank. Chief Frank is now the chief police in Milton. Was it weird that it was all enemies, domestic and foreign, instead of foreign and domestic? That's out of order, right? I mean, it's alphabetical, but it's not the way you normally say it. And, you know, it's I was actually kind of half just like teeny tiny bit curious whether that's the official swearing in oath or whether, you know, Mayor Lindsay just got it jumbled it. And I don't know the answer, and it doesn't really matter. It's just, I had enough curiosity to mention on the radio, but not to actually go look. Because it really doesn't matter. But Chief Frank then spoke in front of the group Tuesday night, that was assembled in the, this was the workshop before the city council meeting.
I'd like to begin by saying, I may have only been here 3 weeks, but I feel like I'm already part of a family. You have all welcomed me in this city to an incredible fabric of folks who are committed to serving, committed to being a part of this amazing city.
But what kind of family? Is it like the Waltons? Is it like the, the Ingalls? Is it like the Brady Bunch? Or is it like, I don't know, the Duttons? Or the various families in Game of Thrones or Succession, you know, what sort of a family did you get welcomed into in Milton?
I'll tell you, I am incredibly impressed by the leadership team that we have, by the officers, by the dispatchers, by the records clerks that I have an opportunity to work with and to work for. We are going to do some great things in this city. I'm blessed. I have the opportunity to take what Chief Tyndall started and to take it forward, to build off of those strengths and to continue to find those opportunities for improvement and to continue to move forward as one group serving you.
I love the way she sounds like, and I have not met her. I haven't talked to her, not yet anyway, but she sounds like, oorah, you know, like, let's go. Almost more military than police. And I don't mean that as, it's not a criticism. I'm just observing that she's enthusiastically, you know, kind of, a little bit shouting the goals more than saying them, if that makes any sense, which I guess not a criticism. I'm just kind of observing the enthusiasm that she's obviously bringing to the job. And you remember, you've seen some of the video of her playing basketball with some of the citizens and playing with the kids. And, you know, by the way, her kind of, it's not really claim to fame, but her claim to fame is that when she was a teacher, a kid brought a gun into the classroom and she disarmed him and then became a cop. Like, basically got a commendation from the governor of New Hampshire and then decided, I think I'm going to go in law enforcement, you know? I mean, that's pretty good, you know, from the kind of people that you want in law enforcement. And honestly, I thought this sort of comment, I thought this comment was particularly interesting.
I want you guys to know, if there's anything you ever need, we're here for you. We're committed to serve you with honor, with transparency, with accountability, and to hold those offenders accountable who need to be held accountable through that process. But that doesn't mean that we don't do it without compassion or without care. We recognize that every single person in our community is a part of that fabric of the community, whether you made a good choice or a bad choice at that moment.
That's a really interesting thing for a chief of police to say. Because, I mean, first of all, it's true. You know, I think a lot of times we think that the citizens are some group that only includes the people we like. You know, citizens are the members of the city. Let's say citizens is a little bit of a prejudicial term. But they are the citizens, okay? That the citizens of the city doesn't include, I don't know, maybe the kids or maybe the people who commit crimes or maybe the people who, you know, play loud music late at night at the bar across the street. You know, right? You know, we tend to think of the community as being the people that we're glad to have in the community, and that when people aren't, you know, behaving properly, that they're not really the, you know, homeless people. Okay, you know, we tend to sometimes, I think, perceive homeless people as not really members of the community, not really citizens. The kind of people that don't really deserve too much because, you know, we pay taxes, let's say, and they don't. And, I mean, of course, that's false, right? The homeless people are a part of the community, too, and the criminals are a part of the community, too. I mean, we might have to put them in time out for a little while, but they're still members of the community. They still have human rights. They still have dignity. They still have protections under the Constitution. They still deserve our care and concern. And I just thought it was an interesting note for a police chief to, in her opening remarks to the city about what her tenure as police chief is taking over Tony Tindall is going to be, to make the comment that, you know, even the people that we arrest and lock up and punish are still our neighbors. You know, we might move them down the block, basically, to a different home, but, you know, they're still our neighbors. They're still our citizens. And that's she's exactly right, of course. Anyway, I just thought it was an interesting set of comments from the chief when she took over. So we now have a police chief in Milton. And if you're wondering, well, Andrew, where's the drama in that? No drama. Nothing like that. Are you dying to have a drama? You feel like if I talk about Milton and I don't do something that's, you know, drama related, that's not right?
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
What I love is watching the faces in the studio just kind of light up when I play this music because, you know, David and John are like, oh, a treat, an early treat. This is not from Tuesday's meeting. This is from a prior meeting, but it's one that I haven't had a chance to get to just yet. A little bit of backdrop before I actually play the clip. There is a facade grant program, which many communities have, and it's a CRA thing, Community Redevelopment Agency or area. It depends on whether it's the who or the where. But it's to eliminate blight. CRAs are there to eliminate blight, okay? And they collect money above a certain threshold, and then that money's supposed to get reinvested in the area and do things that make the area better, more likely to gather investment, like sidewalks and streetlights and building facades and things that make the facade is just the front. Okay. And so there's a program in Milton, these facade grants. And, you know, there has been, oh my God, I can't tell you how many hours of bickering I have heard about the facade grant program, because it's this person got one and that person didn't get one, or this person got three of them for three different businesses, or that person got one 2 years in a row, or it's something about the business that it's so much petty personal politics. But nobody ever comes out and says that, not really. I mean, they kind of hint at it, but, you know, is that person a resident of Milton, or is it just their businesses here? I mean, how much money do we give, and is it right for the government to be doing that? Oh, my God, so many hours. And of the things I do not bring to you about Milton, this is one of those I don't bring to you very often because it's just silly. Well, Teresa Messick, one of the Pitchfork Posse members, although I think she's more of like an associate member. I don't think she's not a founding member. She's not like a full tenured professor or anything. She's sort of like an adjunct Pitchfork Posse. But, you know, she's one of these people that gets up, has her opinions, and that's fine. You know, everybody's allowed to have their opinion. That's the First Amendment. So I love that Ed Spears, who is the city manager, is gonna basically he's gonna bring out the tea. He's gonna tell everybody what's really going on here. So you just listen. This is your brief Days of Our Milton episode for this morning.
He doesn't have a business license to do business. No. And we allowed it and we paid him personally, and that's against your rules.
It is not, ma'am. We can pay the vendor directly if it's to the benefit of the city versus sending it through the property owner. That is the rules that are in there today. I'll be happy to point it out to you chapter and verse. That's not the point.
Again, talking about the facade grant program and somebody getting a grant that she didn't like that person getting a grant. Okay, and saying that it was against the rules because I think in this case it had to do with it was the operator of the business and not the owner of the property or something. I mean, just anyway, here this is where it gets fun.
Point is, we're trying to establish basic rules for a program that gives $5,000 away. Ladies and gentlemen, we spend millions of dollars with far less discussion and banter. And a lot of it from the speakers in the audience is personal issues with individuals who have applied and gotten grants in the past. I understand that.
I know that. That's 100%.
And I would also
point out that the month after
this new council was seated, people who railed against this program for years were the first to apply. And they got funding. Why? Because it was a great project and they were eligible. And that's fair. And that's all we're trying to do is create a fair, level playing field where someone can come to us and get a grant to improve a building, to improve our community.
I love that the voice in the background, the second voice you heard there is Gavin Hawthorne. He's one of the city council members. And Gavin's like, oh, yeah, it's 100% true that all these people are just personal politics. They just don't like the people that are getting the grants. And they're claiming that it's a violation of process. They're claiming that it's a working around the rules or, you know, the program is being in. No. They just don't like the person who's getting the grant. And that's what Ed's saying. And Gavin's like, oh, yeah, 100%. Absolutely. That's true. So, well done. Well done, city council, at least one person. And well done, city manager, Ed Spears. 521, that's it. I don't have a big one for today. I just, you know, it's a small, just a little, it's a mini episode. It's a webcast is all this is. When I get to watching the actual meeting from Tuesday, I'm sure I'll have more. Sure, I'll have more material. 522 on news. Okay, so I'm going to announce this. I haven't watched the meeting, so I always feel uncomfortable announcing things I haven't personally observed. But apparently, remember they were going to look at an attorney, you know, to replace Alex Andrade, well, his firm, okay? And then we had basically the folks who had been doing it, John Adams, still cracks me up, and his firm. Or they had Anthony Sabatini, who's kind of a loudmouth firebrand politician from elsewhere in Florida who's got a law firm, and they were trying to expand their municipal legal consulting service, basically. And, you know, he came to town to give a presentation. And what did I tell you? I said, they're not going to hire Anthony Sabatini. I mean, maybe they would just for entertainment's sake, but they're not going to hire Anthony Sabatini. And they're going to go with the safe standard, no drama. You know, no drama llama answer is what they're trying to go with. And sure enough, that's exactly what they did. And rightly so. It was a silly idea to look at Anthony Sabatini, but you have to take all comers when you make a public offer of a job opportunity. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you you want to get that beautiful green lawn coming up in later in the summer or in the summer, June, July, you want something you're not embarrassed about. You know, you got patches you can't fix, you got weeds you can't get rid of, you know, whatever the problem is, call NSEC. This is literally what they do. They help people go from the, you know, self-made lawn, which is usually not the greatest, to having a lush, beautiful, you know, photogenic lawn, the kind of lawn that when people walk by, they go, ooh. And then they're like, they're angry at you because you have such a nice lawn, right? You know, because you make them look bad. Well, go ahead and make them look bad. It's all right. NSEC can do that for you. 8 annual lawn applications, soil sample, you know, weed control, fungicide, you know, fungus control, pest control if you need that. They can do landscaping for you if you need that. All the different things that they offer. Anything around the outside of your home, between your home and the street, they can take care of you. Sign up today, get $100 off your first lawn application with any new annual lawn program that includes a soil sample, lime treatment on an average size yard. Find out more or sign up at NSEC.net.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
With the temperatures rising and your AC on overdrive, join Trevor and Hunter with Southern Touch Heating and Air today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as they introduce their company and how they are bringing the essence of genuine Southern hospitality into every aspect of their business. Tune in to hear what makes them an HVAC company to call. That's Southern Touch Heating and Air on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Unbelievable. You know, it's funny how little tiny slices of a movie can be just so well crafted that you disproportionately have affection for that slice and maybe even for the movie. So that's Christopher Waltz, in Inglourious Basterds, the Brad Pitt movie, which is one of the all-time best. As a war movie, as a movie that gives you what you didn't even realize how badly you wanted, because the premise of that movie, and I don't want to ruin, I mean, I'm going to ruin it, it doesn't matter. It's old enough, you should have seen it by now. Quentin Tarantino movie. The premise of that movie is that you get to see Hitler killed over and over again in many different ways. Like, that's the, I mean, in one incident, but like from several camera angles. And it is remarkably satisfying to see Hitler get killed. Which is what you really wanted. You really want to go back in the past and see Hitler go. So here's a movie that gives you that satisfaction. From multiple camera angles in a big explosive bloodbath, right? And so that's a pretty brilliant movie. It's also kind of a commentary on the notion of vengeance. And, you know, are we supposed to have that view as humans? You know, since the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's kind of it makes you realize just how badly you enjoy that. And then, oh, should I? I don't know. Even against Hitler, you know. But Chris Waltz in that movie, in that particular scene where he's talking with Brad Pitt and the phone, and it's one of my favorites. 527 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, The Sean Diddy Combs trial continues today. His former girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, took the stand for a second day yesterday. I'm not going to go into details on that, but that'll continue for another several weeks at least.
I did a bad thing. After day one, I read an article telling me what happened in her testimony on day one. Oh.
There is a lot of information out there if that's something you want to read about.
No, but, I could have gone my whole life without knowing any of that, and so can you. You'll be happier if you don't.
Yeah, it's definitely some depraved stuff happening there. President Trump's Middle East trip wraps up today in the United Arab Emirates. Earlier this week, the State Department announced a proposed sale of over $1 billion worth of helicopters and F-16 fighter jets to the UAE. Yesterday, the White House said that Trump signed agreements with Qatar that would generate an economic exchange worth at least $1.2 trillion.
We're selling them F-16s?
That's what this says. Yeah.
I mean, that's just old technology at this point. It's fine. You know, good. Buy the jets that, you know, old Gen 4 jets. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. Cool. All right. Go on.
And today is Peace Officers Memorial Day, a national day of observance for fallen police officers. Many organizations and federal agencies flying their flags today at half staff.
Yep, and you have the Escambia County Sheriff's Office has their fallen officers memorial at, I think it's at 9 o'clock today at the Leonard Street offices. And, oh, I saw a thing on northescambia.com that I hadn't realized. You know how they built the whole new arena sort of outside for the fallen officers? I have not been by there yet, but I'm sure it's fantastic. It's like 90% completed, Sheriff told us on Tuesday. But I hadn't even been thinking about this, but you know what happened to the old one? It got moved to a location in Molino. So it's not destroyed. It's just moved somewhere else. So now you also have that one that has, you know, the granite and stuff there. So that just, I mean, kind of nice that didn't get destroyed. I appreciate that. David, thank you so much for the update. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, you know how Max and HBO, Cinemax and HBO kind of merged and then went from being HBO Max to being just Max. And then nobody knew what that was because it was such an odd little thing. They're now reverting to HBO Max. Somebody at HBO Max, HBO Cinemax, whatever you want to call this joint effort, thought to themselves, you know, maybe a brand that's been around for like 40 years is something we ought to keep, that people know what it is. Yeah, probably a good idea. You know, don't jettison well-known brands. Marketing, not even 101, right? Pre-K.
I'm Chris Foster. President Trump ends the second leg of his Middle East trip addressing American troops in Qatar.
I will never hesitate to wield American power if it's necessary to defend the United States of America or our partners. And this is one of our great partners right here.
He's in the United Arab Emirates next. Dozens of people are reported killed in Israeli airstrikes in Gaza overnight into today.
The main targets of Israeli airstrikes last night appeared to be the southern city of Khan Yunis. 10 airstrikes reported in the second consecutive night of heavy bombing. More than 50 people said by local medical officials to be dead. One was a journalist working for a Qatari TV station, along with 11 members of his family.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Missouri's legislature approves a ballot question asking voters to reenact a state ban on abortion. A ban was overturned in a referendum this past November. The new vote would happen next November or in an earlier special election. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 75 degrees. It's partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. Three individuals associated with Pace Pharmacy were arrested for prescription drug trafficking yesterday. This followed a multi-year investigation by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. The owners, Stephen and Monique Berklow, along with employee David Winkles, faced serious charges, including conspiracy to traffic over 22 kilograms of oxycodone and other controlled substances. The investigation began in 2020 after Dr. Elaine Sharp was found to be prescribing excessive amounts of controlled substances. Investigators say the pharmacy dispensed illicit prescriptions and engaged in fraudulent billing practices. All three were taken into custody without incident and are currently being held at the Santa Rosa County Jail. Well, discussions will continue this evening on how to handle taxes owed by the Escambia Children's Trust to Escambia County at the Board of Commissioners meeting. 2 weeks ago, commissioners discussed several options, including having nearly $700,000 in back taxes go towards the county's youth employment program, and the current year's taxes of about $500,000 go towards infrastructure and CRA districts.
As a compromise to the chair who wanted to go into CRA, I propose that we have all 3 years to go into a summer employment program as the city is going back to put it into early learning as we funded these other programs.
And that's District 3 Commissioner Lumen May. He also sits on the Escambia Children's Trust Board. He says he's hoping for a multi-year agreement to have all of the money go towards the youth employment program, where he believes it will help more young people in the county. Commissioner Mike Kohler has expressed some support for using the money for sidewalks and improvements at parks. That commissioner's meeting happens this evening at 5:30. Abortion opponents can claim a legal victory. A state appeals court ruled yesterday that allowing minors to get abortions without parental consent is unconstitutional. All three judges said that violates a parent's due process rights. The governor and first lady defending Hope Florida from critics, including fellow Republicans. Governor DeSantis and his wife Casey were in Hillsborough County yesterday. They held a roundtable talk in Brandon about Hope Florida. The goal of the organization is to get residents off of government assistance Some lawmakers, including Republicans, have criticized how that's been funded. Casey DeSantis says those critics have been captivated by willful ignorance. Governor DeSantis said a lot of what has been said about the organization is fraudulent. It's 534 News Radio, 92.3. A Bay County attraction drawing some attention from investigators. Officers from the Department of Environmental Protection served a warrant yesterday at Gulf World Marine Park in Panama City Beach. The DEP didn't release any details, but comes after the city inspected the facilities 2 months ago. Panama City Beach tells News 13 that problems were found at the sea turtle pool and the stingray petting pool. 535 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Mostly sunny skies today with a high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. On Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 85. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Keeping the sunshine around on Saturday with a high near 87 and a low near 74. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 75 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 74 in Milton. Your next news at 6 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Tune in today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Regeneration Station will be here discussing how they can help individuals relieve severe pain through their latest in Scalar and Biophotonic Energy Room. This can allow cell regeneration, improve immune function, detoxify the body, elevate moods, and assist in balancing right and left hemispheres of the brain to increase energy levels. It's the Regeneration Station, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
And lastly, just got the invite yesterday. I'll be joining the mayor of Columbia, South Carolina, Daniel Rickenman, next Monday in Washington, D.C., and some U.S. Conference of Mayors folks meeting with Alex Meyer, the head of U.S. governmental affairs at the White House. So that meeting will be Monday at 3 o'clock.
D.C.'s going to D.C. to meet with the White House. Oh, kind of interesting. He is on the line with us now, Mayor D.C. Reeves, City of Pensacola Mayor. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Did you go to the West Wing, to the White House, the building?
Yeah, it was the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. It's where it's the offices of where all the folks are working in the West Wing. State Department folks.
Okay.
And we met with the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. I guess if I wanted to make a run for it, I was inside the fence line.
Gotcha.
It that way.
All right. And you talked about helping them understand the concerns you guys have. And was it Mayor of Columbia? Is that who you went with, right? And then, you know, thinking about grants and funding.
Yeah, Mayor of Riverside, Mayor of Yep, yeah, exactly. And it's just about trying to streamline the process. If you sat in our U.S. mayor's meetings, we have lots of conversations on really two big overarching things. One is preemption and especially unfunded preemption. And then another one is on, hey, we're the boots on the ground for all these federal grant programs that you always hear about. And mm-hmm. then you hear on the news that they only gave out a certain amount of money. Well, you know, we advocate all the time for more direct pay to states and localities, the ones that are out doing the work, you know, and sometimes things get lost in translation. You know, we come up with all these codes and all these rules and all this to protect the taxpayer dollar. And you know what we do? We don't spend the taxpayer dollar. And then these projects cost more money because they take too long to get out. And so, you know, we were just trying to advocate for these things and say, hey, you know, let us be at the table before you come up with a million rules so we can never spend the money. Why don't you talk to the people who are the ones out implementing the spend? And so very good conversation. I think we've got some alignment there, and we expect to be even further involved in the future to try to eliminate some of this red tape and help some of these public-private partnerships move forward.
Yeah, I think it was an interest. I think you were the one who made the point about, you know, one municipality that was building houses could do it at cost for $155,000, but once they got federal money involved and all of the check boxes and the verifications and the procedural elements, it was over $300,000 to build the same exact house, which is not a good stewardship of federal money of any kind. So, you know, no, I think that's great that they were listening to you, and, you know, hopefully they got a receptive ear. One of the other things, obviously, the big announcement yesterday was the recycling plan is coming back. I think that probably you haven't done yourself a great PR service, because it was a kindness to hold down the monthly rate, even though it should have gone up. But now people are going to feel like, oh, it's costing so much to add recycling that you're gonna get dinged for having been nice for a year, you know?
Right. Well, and trust me, we take bullets from all sides on all different sorts of issues, we certainly had a very overt conversation about that, but it's the right thing to do. I don't like not doing what I say I'm going to do or trying to increase a cost on someone. Mm-hmm. So we took that exact issue head on, and we knew that. We're going to get some criticism that says, oh, well, you only lower the price $2 or $3, when in fact, not only did we lower it $5 or $6, go add up how many months we didn't charge you what we could have already we're already authorized to do before my administration. I didn't put these increases in. These were put in before I even got here. So I could have easily done that and blamed it on the previous administration or something like that. But it just, to me, the right thing to do was, let me bring to you back recycling like I promised I would, and then we'll incur those costs. So, that was a multiple $100,000, investment by us that, you're right, we aren't going to get much credit for. But there's some things that I have to do in this job that are the right thing to do and that are good for the citizens that we don't get to hang a banner about. So it just is what it is. On good conscience that we did the right thing to say we're going to pause these cost increases until we got it all figured out.
All right, so let's just run the numbers real quick for people who have not been following this. And I'm going to put this up on Facebook because it'll be a lot easier to see than to do on the radio. But current charge is $27.50. I'm rounding. Current charge is $27.50 a month.
Yep.
What it should be is $31.50 a month. So it should be $4 higher, but you have kept it down in the interest of, you know, all the things you just said. The charge, if you do not have recycling, will start July 14th, if the city council approves, will be $25 a month, and then it'll go up gradually about $1 a year every year thereafter because costs are increasing. If you do recycling, again, there's no recycling now, $27.50 a month. It should be $31.50 a month. That will be $33 a month when it goes into effect in July, and then it will go up to $35 and then to $35.50 thereafter. So that's what we're looking at. So the money, that's where the money's at. But I want you to just kind of talk to the person who's angry, because I have talked to some people who are angry. They are angry at D.C. D.C. has prevented me from doing recycling. I want to do recycling. I'm sick of all this nonsense. You know, we pay for premium service here in the city of Pensacola, and we haven't had recycling all this time. Yep. People who are frustrated and angry, and you want to, yep. I want to give you a chance to address them, because they're your constituents.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing I'd say is, here's the great news. If your anger and frustration is around recycling, when I got into this office, we weren't recycling, and now we are. So let's start with the win that we do have, which is we are actually put in a position to functionally recycle, which you can't take the assumption that you were recycling before, because we all know the data that I've said on this show many times, more than 50% contamination, even recyclables going into the landfill for lack of market. So that's the great news. And secondly, you're right. we should expect a high quality of service, which means we're going to track how well our contamination works. And again, I feel like we were keeping people's bills down when we weren't doing what we said we were going to do. This is very evidence-based and data-based. The reason we, I've gotten the question about, well, why not keep twice a week? Well, we asked our two different times at two different, in two different years, we asked our constituents what kind of service they want. The latest poll was about 86% of people were either going to want just garbage once a week for a lower price, or they were going to want once a week garbage, once a week recycling. There isn't a large market for folks that want two cans a week. But what I would say is you've got to trust the idea that we're trying to modernize not only contamination, but even how we price things. When I got here, a second black garbage can, anybody could get a second black garbage can if they wanted. You paid another $27 a month, which, of course, anybody in business knows that makes zero sense.
Right.
And we knew that from the first second. So now if you do have a big family with four or five kids, it'll still be one pickup day a week, but you can get a second can, and it's going to be something like $5 a month, which is much more functional. We're already coming to your house to get the garbage. It doesn't cost us that much more to pick up the second can. So I think what we're coming back with is a significantly more efficient, modernized solution for what our constituents want, because we asked what they wanted. And it's always my job. Andrew, you hear me say all the time, whether it's red light cameras, whether it's parking, whether it's anything else that has its detractors, my job is to not have enough ego and to be nimble enough for us to see how things are going and not dig in our heels on principle, but to do what I think is right at the right time. And I think we are right now, and we'll obviously continue to monitor it and make sure it's working the way we want it to.
And to me, something that we haven't talked about yet today, but we've talked about many times in the past, is if people are opting into recycling and paying for recycling, you're much more likely to get good behavior in the act of recycling. And that means that you won't have to pay the extra
Correct.
Charge of going to the landfill with contaminated loads. Also, you're going to have funding coming in from outside sources, particularly corporations that are checkboxing their green energy or their green contributions, because folks like Coca-Cola have created a fund where they can educate people about what to recycle and what not to recycle, which will, again, all work to the good for making this program stay at the lower cost that it can be and also be more effective long term. So, I mean, good. I think people should be excited about this. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about something you mentioned yesterday. I thought it was one of the most candid things you've ever said. You said that, look, we have a lot of parks in Pensacola. We do not have enough funding to maintain all of our parks at the expected level of service. We need to find alternate funding. We have gone to grants. We are looking to find other solutions, and one of your proposed solutions is maybe a Pensacola Parks Foundation, the same way the police and the sheriffs and the school districts have a foundation for charitable fundraising, because parks are expensive, and people get excited when we ribbon cut for a new park and when we put in a new facility and we put in a new dog park or a play structure, and then nobody asks the question of maintenance and replacement, and those things ultimately cost so much money that we just can't do it all in the 90-plus parks that we maintain, right?
Exactly. And listen, when it comes to the unfun nature of maintenance over newness, I think I'm patient zero, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at my 2.5 years of having to knock down gyms because they had fallen in disrepair because no one maintained them or funded the maintenance. We're spending $21.7 million, some that's on all rehab and maintenance from Fricker Center. That 21.7 doesn't count $40 million at Hollis T. Williams and some of these new things. That's just going and maintaining the stuff that we have. And a lot of that is grant funding, to your point. And you know what? We've got a lot of charitable, caring citizens who care about their park, not just because they use the playground, but it's across the street from their house or they grew up playing there and all that. And we have these small examples where people have called us just being good citizens and saying, hey, is there something we can do? Can we replace that bench? I mentioned in the press conference yesterday, there's a group that has been for years contributing financially for flowers on Palafox Street and things like that, not because they have to, because they just care about it. And so, while we try to get inventive and I know, and here we are talking about putting our largest revenue stream on the chopping block, which is property tax, we forget what that funds, including your police. And then on the same vein, I get asked, well, what are we going to do about our sidewalks? What are we going to do about our parks? Well, great question. Great question. We need to have some revenue stream of which to take care of them. And we'll never, Andrew, as you know, have enough revenue stream to take care of 94 parks and 11 community centers independently through the general fund.
Right.
That's just not going to happen. So if grants aren't going to be the same they used to be, and we work the ebbs and flows of government and government funding, we got to get resourceful, and we got to figure out the best way we can try to come up with solutions. And so, I've always liked that idea. I don't know that when that would happen. I don't know that we're not saying we're going to do that tomorrow, but to give an easier avenue and a more streamlined avenue for folks who care about their parks and want to earmark their money toward this park or this, certain initiative, that I think would be a great thing. And I think there'd be some interest out there.
Okay. So I have a crazy idea. It's just the kind of thing a philosopher would think of. It's probably not practical, but here goes. Okay. Would there be any way to make the property tax payments that people give to the city, I don't know, take 10% of people's assigned property tax and let them checkbox one of, say, 5 or 6 different earmarks for that money? It would let people feel like, I gave to the police, or I gave to the roads, or I gave to the parks. It's still obligatory money to spend, but it lets them feel like they're a little bit more in control of the spend of it. And maybe you could also have a, would you be interested in contributing any extra to the police or to the parks or to the road? You know what I mean? Like, it seems like it would probably be complicated. It might not be legal, but it seems like it would offer the chance for people to get a little bit of buy-in and a little bit of control and a little bit of pride that they're not just forced to pay this money that's going to get used, but they're giving money to the thing they really care about the most. Does that make sense?
Well, listen, conceptually, I like the idea, and that's how I think too, right? Make sure we're spending it where people want it.
Right.
Number one, who's to say that it's already not broken down that way, right? You know, mainly public safety, things like that. So you'd want to try to cross-analyze that. The only other hurdle you'd have to worry about in that scenario would be, well, what if you don't, jack of all, master of none? What if all the boxes get checked where there's not enough sufficient funding to do what you're promising in those boxes? So, you know, you would have to kind of analyze that. But you know, I won't do my entire property tax diatribe, but, you know, polling 101 is when you poll the citizens and say, would you like free money or not free money?
Right.
You know, shockingly, everybody's voting to say, well, I would like to have free money. So would I. That's how I would vote it. But when we say we might have to, you know, we would have to cut 30% of our public safety, 35% of our public safety, and now it takes us 40 minutes to get to your house instead of 3 minutes to get to your house in an emergency.
Right.
Would that change your vote? You know, and I think that's rhetorical, and I know that those numbers are exact, but that's, you know, I would think that the cities right now are losing this messaging battle a little bit about what the value of the property tax is when we talk about cutting taxes, because we would all vote for paying less taxes.
And it might moot out by what the governor and the legislature are trying to do too. It seemed to me like an opportunity to maybe give a little bit of power and ownership and pride for people, because otherwise they just feel like it's money gone as opposed to service acquired, you know? And it just, you know, the weird ideas that poli-sci philosophers come up with. So forgive me for indulging.
I love the concept.
We always like to end with a lightning round, which is just a couple of quick questions for you, Mr. Mayor. First one for you is, do you prefer to have your checks direct deposit, or do you like to write physical checks? The government is going to get rid of physical checks coming in September.
Well, when I get a paper check, it sits on my kitchen counter for like 3 months before I put it in. So, I've got to go by the way I act, not with what I say.
Okay.
I would normally say I don't mind paper checks, but my activity is much, much slower on the paper form.
Practice is what it is. Okay. Do you leave online reviews or comments of businesses and products and sellers, both good and bad, just good, just bad? What's your practice?
I should do it more. I generally will only do it as good, not only as a mayor that, you know, tends to take public criticism a lot and hear more negative than positive. But remember, I was a business owner before this. I respect so much, you know, bars or restaurants or wherever you go, that even if I have a bad experience, the chances that I'm going to I would reach out to the managers, I would do, or the owner, you know, and send them an email if it was about solving the problem. I've just been around this game in my last two jobs so often that there's lots of misperceptions that get put out there. And so I just have the respect of who that business owner or whatever, that if I really have a problem, I'll reach out directly to them.
Very good. And the same. I'm exactly the same. And last one, do you have a favorite building in Pensacola or in the vicinity?
And I haven't thought of that. We always do.
Please don't say the Bay Center.
We always point. No, yeah, no, trust me. That's on the bottom of the list. I always point out the tower, the Seville Tower, as
Seville
the tallest
tower.
Building in Florida until like the 50s or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not for its ornate.
Yeah, I know. And I'm sure Collier likes the nod, so that's fine. It's a cool one. It's one of the buildings downtown I like. Mr. Mayor, have a good meeting next Thursday. We'll talk to you next Wednesday beforehand. As always, thank you for the time and the input, man. I really appreciate it. Absolutely. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, making a real estate move of any kind, you know, maybe you've been thinking about getting into real estate investing, whether you want to buy a long-term rental, a short-term rental, something that you want to, you know, fix and flip. I mean, you know, all kinds of possibilities are out there. You might think maybe you watch a little bit too much HGTV. You've got some idea and you think you can make it work. Well, maybe you can. Maybe there's more to it than you know. Maybe now is a great time. Maybe now is not a great time. Maybe the place you're thinking about doing it. Don't ask me. Ask Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. And listen, let me tell you for a fact. If Christina thinks that what you're planning to do is not a great idea, she will tell you it's not a great idea. And she said that. You know, I've talked people out of buying homes because it wasn't going to do for them what they thought it was going to do, or is going to be too challenging compared to what they really could afford. Because she will give you that honest advice. She's not just always trying to make the sale. You know, she thinks about people and building a relationship and having a reputation for good advice. And so if you're thinking, literally, if you're thinking about it, give her a call and ask her what she thinks. I mean, her team sold 165 homes last year. She might have some ideas, right? She might have some insight into what the market is doing and how it might be beneficial or not for you to do whatever it is you're planning. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you, Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Gathering at Pensacola Beach is a wonderful family experience. If you've thought about having a family celebration or an amazing beach wedding, there is a very special home now available, Casa de Luna. Casa de Luna is spacious with room for large families. It has 9 large bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. The pool has a new 4,000 BTU gas heater. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another has a jacuzzi tub. There is a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
Celebrating 15 years of excellence, Nancy's Catering and Events has been feeding Pensacola's most unforgettable occasions since 2010. Led by award-winning executive chef Gus Silivos, Nancy's team brings top culinary creations and guest experiences to the Gulf Coast area. From lavish weddings and galas to seaside crab boils and garden parties, Nancy's has you covered. For more information and to see the array of menus and services, visit nancyscateringandevents.com. Nancy's Catering and Events, where your perfect event begins.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
One thing about living in Santa Carla I never could stomach. All the damn vampires.
Good morning, 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne in the newsroom has a headline or two for us. David?
Well, Pope Leo XIV is apparently posting on X now. He made his first posts as the Pope from the, apparently there's an official Pope X account.
Okay. But he's not an ex-Pope.
Well, no, not yet.
Right.
I guess never would be.
No. Well, I mean, Benedict was an ex-Pope. Right? Because he retired before he died.
I suppose that's true, yeah. Okay. President Trump and Vladimir Putin won't be in Turkey for Ukraine peace talks like President Putin had suggested. On Sunday, Putin proposed direct talks without any preconditions.
I think that the Ukraine
local talk in the morning, 5.